I think one of the most beautiful things that I see on television every year, something I really enjoy seeing, is the Rose Bowl Parade from Pasadena, California. That parade has been around for a long, long time, over 130 years. It began in 1890. Fred and Lois Small went to Pasadena one year and witnessed that parade in person. Has anyone else ever done that? Oh, I'm so jealous, and I'm sure you have wonderful memories of that day. I think the correct name for that parade is the Tournament of Roses Parade, and it has a great history with a number of stories related to it because of incidents that happened there. And I think my favorite story happened a long time ago, shortly before World War II began. There was a beautiful float filled with American beauty roses. And it sputtered and stopped dead still and held up the entire parade. Why? Because they ran out of gas. And they had to find somebody who could get a can of gas to come and fill it up just enough to get it out of the way so the rest of the parade could go forward. Now here's the clinker. That float was sponsored by the Standard Oil Company. How embarrassing. How ironic. I want to suggest something from that story. I believe there are a number of churches today who look beautiful on the outside, but they've run out of gas. They rely on their lovely facilities. They rely on elaborate programming. They rely on people and the talents of people rather than on Almighty God. And unfortunately, I believe that the same is true of many Christians, relying on things of the world rather than relying on God. And as a result, they sputter and they quit. May we never be among them, Covenant Fellowship. May we always be reminded of what God said in Zechariah 4:6, not by might, nor by power, but by my, what? By my spirit, says the Lord. Not by might, not by power, but my spirit, says the Lord. Do you realize how much you need God to get you from here to there? How's your gas tank? Is it full? Are you ready to go? Or does it need to be topped off a little bit? I read a story that's almost too ridiculous to believe, but it's true. At least they say it is. An automobile mechanic in Oklahoma City got a distress call from a lady whose car had stalled on the highway, and he went to help her. He examined her car, and finally he had to say to her that she had simply run out of gas. And then he said that she actually turned to him and with wide eyes, she asked, "Well, will it hurt the car if I drive it home on an empty tank?" That poor lady did not even understand what powered her vehicle. And that is the way it is with some Christians. They just don't understand where the power comes from. You know that the source of all the power is God. You know that. And you know that God's Holy Spirit is what moves you from here to there. But that's the who factor. I want to talk about the what factor. I want to talk about what it is that God uses to move you from here to there. And I'm going to use a great word to answer that question, and the word is inspiration. That's the word for today, inspiration. What is inspiration? Well, I'll tell you what most people think it is. They think it's goosebumps. Yeah. You know that thrilling feeling you get when dopamine spreads through your body and the hair stands up on your arm and your heartbeat picks up a little bit, and maybe if you look down at your skin, it looks like the skin of a goose when you've taken the feathers out. I don't know why they chose the goose, because if you take the feathers out of just about any bird, they all look the same. In fact, in some cultures, they call it chicken skin, literally. And in Hebrew, they call it duck skin. Did you know that? Next trivia game, you'll know now that. Regardless, in English, we think of goosebumps when we think of being inspired. And some of you know this well. A good many people respond with goosebumps and inspiration when they hear music. In fact, there was a Canadian study done, and they discovered that when some people hear music, there is a release of dopamine in the body. And they say they feel inspired. And that's one of the reasons that some people love some of the music that happens in worship services. In fact, some of them even equate music with worship. But they're not. They're different. They're separate. But that's how they feel. In fact, it may be that feeling that even keeps some people coming to church, because they just love the music. And for others, it's not the music at all. They could care less about the music. For some people, it is the spoken word. They come for the sermon. Everything before the sermon is the preliminary. They want to hear the sermon. They want to hear a testimony. Of course, there are those who love both the music and the spoken word for the very same reasons. It inspires them. Are you one of those people who comes for that kind of inspiration? Well, here's another interesting question. Are you like those people who might leave a church because you're not getting goosebumps on Sunday morning from the music or from the spoken word? Well, let's make this point. Inspiration is not just goosebumps. Consider this. You can get goosebumps when you are afraid. You can get goosebumps when you're cold. Some drugs cause goosebumps. I didn't know that, but I read that. Some people get goosebumps when they see beautiful artwork or special architecture. So what is true inspiration? Well, here is the first definition from our dictionaries. And they tell us that the first definition in the dictionary is often the strongest and the best one. The first definition of inspiration in our dictionaries is breathing. Breathing. And here's the first reference to that in the Bible. Creation. Genesis 2, verse 7. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. True inspiration is the breath of God. It started in creation, and it's continued throughout history. The Bible is filled with revelations about the breath of God. And one of the richest places for learning about that is the book of Job. I chose only three out of many, many. Job 32:8, but it is the Spirit, capital S, the Spirit, his Spirit. It is the Spirit in a man, the breath of the Almighty, that gives him understanding. Job 33:4, the Spirit of God has made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life. And Job 34:14, if it were his intention and he withdrew his spirit and breath, all mankind would perish together and man would return to dust. Of all three of those passages, the word spirit and the word breath are separate words, but they're related words. And the word for breath in the original language can literally be interpreted inspiration. Full circle. Are you still with me? Here's more. Our word inspire means to breathe in. Our word expire means to breathe out. But that's only the finite way we can understand it as human beings. Because with God, inspiration is both breathing in and breathing out. This is from the New Testament, the Gospel of John chapter 20. The context here is that Jesus has just been resurrected from the dead. He is appearing to the disciples in the upper room, and he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Brothers and sisters, that is true inspiration. And why did Jesus do that? Well, he told us the answer. He said, "I am sending you. I am sending you." True inspiration is for the purpose of evangelism. It's not primarily for our pleasure. It's primarily for our obedience. Now, we can stop right there. That statement alone could be the end of the sermon. But wait, there's more. We have dealt already with the basic revelations of what the Bible says about true inspiration, but we've not yet dealt with the most important applications of that revelation. And here it is. It's given to us by God through the Apostle Paul in what we just read from 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is God-breathed. And is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and training in righteousness. In the King James translation, that verse says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And in the English Standard Version, it says, all Scripture is breathed out by God. There you have both. Inspire, expire. There you have both. And from there, we could go on a long journey about the infallibility of the original God-breathed word as it was given by him to us. Let's be reminded of this. The Bible is not a book. The Bible is a compilation of 66 books written by 40 different authors in various languages over a period of 1,500 years. And yet, even with all of that, there is a miraculous unifying message throughout the Bible. We could talk about how scholars from every generation have tried to disprove the Bible, and they have failed. And they will continue to try to disprove it, and they will continue to fail. Why? Because the Word of God is God-breathed. God breathed. And like his church, his word will not fail. Ever. But don't miss this. The Bible is not there just for our inspiration. It is there for our perspiration. What do I mean by that? Well, just as God breathed on man to lead him to work, caring for his creation, and just as Jesus breathed on the disciples to put them to work for evangelism, God breathed his life into you to put you to work. You see, in the context of 2 Timothy, it says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Persecutions of Christians is a biblical fact. And Paul added that the scriptures are given to make you wise. Wise for what? For action. For perspiration. What am I talking about? Well, listen again to the whole passage. It's filled with active verbs. All scripture is God-breathed, God-inspired, and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Inspiration leads to perspiration, not goosebumps. All of that, everything I've said so far, leads me to this, a question. Why are you here today? I'm not asking why your heart's beating and you're breathing and you have life, because we know that God did that. He breathed life into each of us. We know that. But why are you here at this worship service, or any worship service today and any Lord's Day? Are you running low on gas and you just wanted to come and get your gas tank filled up a little bit? Is that why you're here? Well, instead of filling up your gas tank so that you can get on with your parade, you need to fill yourself with his breath, true inspiration, the Spirit of God and the Word of God. God seeks those who worship him in spirit and in truth. The Spirit of God and the Word of God. You need that in order to be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Do you want to be empowered? Of course you do. Well, submit to God's holy word. And when you do, the wind of the Holy Spirit will blow. And that wind will move you. It will move you. Not by might and not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. But be aware of this. True inspiration may move you from your comfort zone to his sometimes uncomfortable zone. You never know with God, do you? It will move you to work, to evangelism, to perspiration for the kingdom of God here on this side of heaven. And if you do not want that, then you are free to pursue your transitory goosebumps all you want to. The kind of inspiration that does not last. But if you want to be alive in Christ, you need to come here every Lord's Day with an openness of heart, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Amen? Edwin Hatch wrote a poem set to music. And he prayed this way. breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love and do what thou wouldst do. And you know what? He will. He really, really wants to inspire you. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, may we be open vessels for that life-giving breath. May we be willing, Lord, even in advanced years, as most of us are, to work for your kingdom, to love what you love and to do what you would have us do, to the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen.